For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan today with a bunch of Tiny Desk Concerts. A long time ago we started, it was back in April of, was it last year? We started a series of concerts at my desk. And Robin, you've witnessed these. I'm here with Robin Hilton, producer of All Songs Considered. And sometimes I think we do things, Robin, that people don't know about. And the Tiny Desk series has become this jewel for us. It's something we love because we bring in artists that we wouldn't do a full concert of, or maybe they're here and we want to do something different and special with them.
Scheduling conflict or something.
Right. So we started the series of concerts that are literally behind my desk. This happened when Stephen Thompson and I were in Austin, Texas, going to see Laura Gibson at a club. And we love Laura Gibson's music. And she sang, and she sings. She sort of sings like this, and she's really, really quiet. And the crowd was really loud, and I think literally the speakers were facing out the door. and when Laura Gibson came off stage, Stephen and I stood around and said, we didn't really hear you at all. We're going to have to do this again sometime. And Stephen says, why don't you come play at Bob's desk? And she smiled at that, and she said, okay. And about a month later, we get a call from Laura Gibson. She's opening for Colin Malloy for the Decemberists at the 9:30 Club. She said, well, I'm here. So we yanked out a couple of HD cameras and a really beautiful microphone. She sat behind my desk and played this song. And this is what sort of launched our concert series. And so today on All Songs Considered, we're just going to play some of our favorite Tiny Desk concerts, of which there are videos of. On the website, there are videos on the All Songs Considered live concert podcast as well. So if you don't subscribe to that, you can get any of these Tiny Desk concerts on that live concert podcast. And let's listen to Laura Gibson sing.
Yeah, what one do you want to do? She did three songs for us.
I got chills the moment she opened her mouth, and I'd like to play that very first moment where she opened her mouth and sang the song.
Hands in Pockets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up with the sunrise, you'll be staring out through the window on the day. I'll be another waking shadow cast on the covers of your bed. Give me another waking moment, shine against the sun. Gray. Tell me the season's almost over. I can wait. So goes another winter, slowly hands in the pockets of my coat. You'll be the first to spin your story. I'll be the last to let you go. Tell me you'll always go before me, out along the solemn grave. Tell me the season's almost over. I can wait. I can wait.
She is just so nice, so wonderful. That she came in and the whole office area just grew completely silent to listen to her, and there was just this warm glow in the room. And, you know, just such a sweet person and beautiful songs. I was a big fan of her previous album, If You Come to Greet Me, which I think came out in 2006. And I thought it was, you know, it was a really nice album, really, really lovely. But I would have never have guessed that she'd produce an album as richly textured as Beasts of Seasons. Mm. It's just a stunning, stunning album.
It certainly is a favorite of mine this year. A total surprise.
I think it'll be, we're going to do a poll here in just another 6 months of the year's best, and I think you'll definitely see that on there.
So other artists that have come to our Tiny Desk concert, we had Vic Chestnut, which...
I really would love to play some of his. We've done Vic so many times on this show. If you go to our archives and just search Vic Chestnut, you'll find a lot of great music from him. The thing that's so great about these Tiny Desk shows is that you get to see artists as sort of normal, regular, everyday people. And you find that all of them are just so down to earth. And, you know...
Haven't had a jerk yet.
haven't had a jerk yet. You know, even huge personalities like Tom Jones, who we'll talk about later, and just everyone is just so warm and very human. And it's just been so nice to see them sort of out of their stage character in a setting like this. Because being in an office is, you know, it really takes them out of themselves.
Well, that's the thing. We have a big open space. There are people who sit at in little, they're not cubes. They're we call them pods, where there's no dividers between between everybody's space.
Big open space. People are answering their phones. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the photocopier going on in the background. You hear sirens outside of the, you know, passing by in the street. And it's hard not to giggle through some of it as you're watching these artists play, but everyone is always a good sport.
And speaking of warm personalities, as you did, the day we brought in Sam Phillips.
Oh, man.
We have to turn off the air conditioning for these things. That's the only thing that we really change when we do these shows, because the noise is, we just don't want the noise in the recording. So it got really, really hot. It was already hot. I think our air conditioning had busted that day.
Yeah, our AC didn't really work. And the sun's coming in through the windows. Everyone's baking, sweat pouring down everybody.
And Sam Phillips came with Eric Gorfain. And they were both troopers through the heat, and played a gorgeous tune.
I love from her most recent album, Don't Do Anything, the song No Explanations.
Okay.
That one just kills me.
Yeah, let's do that.
I thought if he understood, he wouldn't treat me this way. No explanations, no more explanations. She looked me over and over and couldn't locate me. No explanations, no more explanations. A thousand miracles running away from clues. No more explanations. This is bigger than you and the part of the truth you trust. This is the break. Running out of air, time is saying, there's only so much pain they can't block the sun. No more explanations. This is bigger than you and the part of the truth. This is the breaking
How does she get her guitar to sound like that? I want that guitar. Every time I hear her play, I want that guitar.
I think she said she found that guitar at a yard sale, if I'm not mistaken.
I think she said Joe Henry found it at a yard sale, and she got it from him, I think is what she said. But that guitar just has the greatest little rattling sound to it. And Eric Gorfain, too, he was on electric guitar. You could hear that in the little harder riff in the background there.
And he had one of these little pocket Supro amps. I don't know if you know those amps. There, they used to come. You send the company in a empty cigarette box of your choice, and they put this little tiny amp in it to give you an idea of its size. And these little amps are super wonderful. They're called Supro, and you can actually power a Marshall cabinet with this amp. And anyway, it's just this tiny little.
I didn't remember him having that, but it's a great sound from that little speaker. Yeah, he also had the Stroh violin, which is this sort of metal and wood violin with this sort of a megaphone or gramophone, whatever you call this horn coming off of it.
It's a violin that got basically in an accident with a Victrola.
Yes, exactly. They were mashed together and it still makes a sound, although a very odd one. But they were just so beautiful together.
Yeah, I love that. I'm talking with Robin Hilton. We're talking about the Tiny Desk concerts that we've been doing, of which we have a whole slew of them in the can that we're just, every Monday, we're just going to put another one out. With Sarah Cahoon was just a beautiful set for us. We've done Tout and Win a bunch, but she was the one who said to me, Robin, she said, walking down the hall after she performed behind the desk, she said, this was very awkward and very intimate. Very much like my last boyfriend.
Awkward and intimate. She was very charming, too. Yeah. She's really sweet. Yeah. Loved having her.
So, and then Kurt Wagner came by, and he did from Lamb Chop. He came by, and he came real prepared. He had, like, this Martin Luther King fan, and he had stories mm-hmm. to tell and to weave into how to get from song
props,
to song. He really did bring stage props.
He did a great cover of the Don Williams song, I Believe in You, and I hadn't heard that song in 25 or 30 years. It was such a trip hearing him do it. It was a beautiful version, too.
Yeah, indeed. And then we got the surprise. It was back in around October 2008. We really wanted to do Dr. Dog, but they were going to play in a place in Virginia we had never covered before, and we also had a conflict of a concert, I think it was the night before.
Yeah.
And we just had to say no. But we really loved the new record. We love everything they were doing. And so they said, I said, look, because everyone had pretty much been pared down, one person, it had been literally, acoustic guitars for the most part.
Right.
And we knew Dr. Dog wasn't an acoustic guitar band, and they said, it'll be okay. Their manager or publicist said, it'll be okay, they'll come, it'll just be, be a couple of them, and it'll be fine. And I went downstairs to the van, and I met them, and there were five of them. And one by one, they started pulling instruments out of the van. Oh, I'll take the bass. I'll take the amp. Before I knew it, they were carrying upstairs with suitcases and guitars. Right. And they all spread themselves out behind the desk. And we did the sound check. Do you remember that?
They were just, they got into the coolest groove. They were just all just playing this riff over and over again. It was just so awesome. And they finally just said, so are we supposed to start now or what? And you said, go ahead anytime. And they just went right into the first song, which I think is the one we should play, The Beach.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Are we supposed to start? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. Did you guys know? There's a hole in the roof and the rain comes down. The road's all flooded. There's no way back to town in this ship we came in on. Well, it has just run aground. You know, fate has got a funny way of coming around. The memories we buried have just taken seed. When springtime comes, they'll turn into weeds and they will creep through your window to smother your dreams. You know, fate has got a funny way of coming around. The carbon names like scripture to the soles of our feet. Each footprint that they take, it will tell about the trail of madness. Oh, they will follow and read till the flow tide comes to swallow. We have since switched to skull pipes, but we can't choke it down. You know, fate has got a funny way of coming around.
That was just great. The guys with hats, too, there.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of them had hats or and sunglasses on. And we did a live video stream of that, and a friend of mine was watching it from his office across town. And he said, what is this band? Are they called the Hats? And it seemed like an appropriate name, but they were great. I just was just knocked out by them.
And Jim White came by. He did a really quiet, beautiful little concert. He just got literally, I think he'd gotten off the plane from Sweden like that morning, or the night before, and did just a bunch of sweet songs and told stories. I really admire him as a storyteller as much as a songwriter.
Hadn't you found him as a commentator for All Things Considered because of his storytelling?
Yeah, well, what happened was I'd heard his music, I'd heard his words, and approached him. Because we couldn't seem to find a way to get him as an interview and All Things Considered when I was working there. And I just said to him, you know, why aren't you such a storyteller? Why don't you write a couple-minute story, four-minute, five-minute story? We'll try and get it on the air. And he wrote to me, and he said, I love that. I love telling stories. And he turned in, sent me a CD with four 15-minute stories. And I said, Jim, I love these stories, Jim, because he was a cab rider in New York. And he just had a way. They were mystical stories. They weren't just like guy goes down the street. But they all wound up somewhere in places you'd never expect. I said, this is great. But take one of them and cut it down to about 4 or 5 minutes, because it's just not going to get on the air.
And
if you don't do that.
4 or 5 minutes is long for
radio. That's right.
For All Things, you were giving him a lot more time.
I was, yeah. Totally. So he said, I'll do that. And 3 weeks later, he came back with a 19-minute story.
It had gotten longer, shorter. Right. That's great. Well, he was a great guy.
He was a great guy. And then we brought in...
just about the favorite band of just about everyone on staff, Shearwater. And Jonathan Myberg, the lead singer and songwriter, came with his full band, including Thor Harris, who's the percussionist. And they all had these sort of homemade instruments. Thor had this dulcimer that he'd made. It looked like out of, you know, shoestrings and a you know, cardboard box or something.
Well, hang on, because he's actually a carpenter, and it might have been part of a tree.
I'm exaggerating, but yeah. It was very rustic. And then someone else in the group, I think it was Jordan Geiger, had a water phone that I believe they'd also made, which is...
Had
Thor made the water phone, too? It's a sort of our glass-shaped metal container that actually holds water. And then there are these little metallic, little metal arms coming off of it, coiling all the way around, and you bow those arms, and it creates a very eerie...
As you move the water, the tone changes and stuff.
Yeah, and they use that to great effect.
It was wonderful. Thor said, I said, what made you build this little... sort of hammer dulcimer thing. He said, well, I had a big one, you know, a huge one, and we tore with it, and I only used this many notes. So he built one with just that many notes.
That's great. Well, what do you want to hear?
That's a good question, because they're all pretty lovely. Maybe Rooks, maybe the title track from
the record. I was thinking that one, too. That was a really nice cut.
And like Dr. Dog, and unlike most of the other artists we had before, Jonathan Myberg projected... And he shook the room with his voice. I was amazed at what he did. And we've had a few that's happened to since, including later in the show, Tallest Man on Earth, which will come out later. And the Avett Brothers, which we're going to publish on the day that this goes up online, too.
Right.
And we'll talk about them as well. But one of the beauties, I think, of this whole concert series is to challenge the artists to do something different than they might in a concert venue. But the other thing is, I don't think people hear singers without microphones anymore.
Yeah.
And so you really don't know how powerful a singer somebody is until they belt it out without a mic there. And
I think the opposite is also true, though, that we've had some singers, I had no idea how quiet they were until they weren't amplified, and you realize, wow, they really play to the mic.
Absolutely.
But no, Jonathan has a powerful voice, and he really can project. I mean, he has these very, very fragile, intimate moments with his voice, and then he'll just, you know, it'll just swell suddenly to epic proportions. But let's just give it a listen.
Okay,
song Rooks.
Great.
By the sides of the road, crashing into the aerials, tangled in the laundry light, and gathered in a field, they were burned in a feathering pot with a coal black. When the swallows fell from the eaves, the gulls from the spars, and starlings in the millions would feed on the ground where they lie. And the ambulance man said, there's nowhere to flee for your life. So we stay inside. Sleep until the world of man is paralyzed. Corner awakes to
sound of the bells overhead and southbound. Believing is life, an enchanted cage just rings in his heart like a bell. Underneath these cold stars, this trembling night, and it cries, a man with the kingdom come tonight. Let this dream be realized.
I'm Bob Boylan here with Robin Hilton. We're talking about the Tiny Desk concert series that we do on All Songs Considered. npr.org/tinydeskconcerts is how you find the entire series. And today we're talking about it because Avett Brothers is going up online, and that was really fairly extraordinary. And also, I just think it's a series of stuff that people just don't know about, and it's fun to play catch up.
We've been telling people for years that we have absolutely the most unbearable job anyone could possibly have. And hopefully this show will stand as a testament to that, and people will finally realize what we have to go through.
Sometimes I have to get up from behind my desk, so I have to watch the concert.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, maybe I've got a couple calls to make, and Shearwater's right next to my desk. You know, I've got to take a conference call on speakerphone.
I'm really sorry. Yeah. You know, you could file a union grievance.
I might have to do that. I might have to do that.
Dave Dondero came by, and he came by with Super Double X Man. They came the same day. We had a collision. We all wanted to do Dave Dondero. I was a real lover of Scott Gerard, the Super Double X Man, and they both wanted to be there at the same time. And so,
out of all the shows we've done that I've missed, David Dondero's is the one that I regret the most that I wasn't able to be here for that one. Tell me, how was the show? Tell me a little bit about it.
It was remarkable. Now, you've seen him before because we used to do some videos in our performance studio, which Dave was one of them. And I think he's one of the most talented lyricists around. And he came, he was very nervous.
He's shy.
This is the other thing about performance, and we'll talk about this maybe when we get to Tom Jones a little bit, which is that when you strip away a lot of the stuff, the comfort zone's gone, and that's, you know, that makes it interesting. And but maybe not so for David. He was so nervous, in fact, that he sort of didn't take off his big heavy coat and his sweater or whatever underneath. Mm-hmm. And by about song two, he was profusely perspiring, I think, and you could see him nervous about it. But his performance was riveting, and I think he's just such a ball of talent.
Yeah, he really is. I agree with you on him being one of the best lyricists we have. I did a little piece, it's been two or three years ago, where I talked about our greatest living songwriters, and I include him on that list. It's really unfortunate more people don't know about his work.
What do you want to play?
He's put out a number of albums, and he's actually working on a new one that is hopefully going to come out by the end of this year. This song is called In Love with the Living and the Dead, and it's from an album that came out a while back called The Transient. It's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
An easy rhyme to fill these moments of your time. I've tried to keep between the line, looking forward and behind. I studied highway archaeology, poetry yet written as it's happening before me. Moment of expression, it's evolving and dissolving, connecting and exploding, building up and then eroding. It's the endings I keep blowing every time. I played a skinny indie white boy blues in a scuffed up military style shoes. I'm a convenience store connoisseur on a broken shoestring budget tour. Flat broke folk just barely float, sick and fast, and I'll get a moke at no success. Soon forgotten, put to rest. Cross country a million times, a billion roads, a gazillion signs. Reenactment is this life. words just to bite from all those heroes that I heard. Paraphrasing words just to leave behind a song. It's a reenactment of a song, it ain't a real one. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dead. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dead. Living and the dead, I'm in love with the lover who's dead. Seen some highs and lows, I've seen those Akrons and Toledos, and I've done a whole mess of shows, not a single person goes. Driven 14 hours just to play to the sound, guys, he's reading his book, you got to suck it up and try. Bartender's playing on a mega touch machine, hear her long fingernails, she's a-tapping on that screen. It's a cold, bleak night, puddles, bleeding lights, and Detroit's abandoned, the casino's in my sights. I gotta kill my time, I'm a ghost out on these streets. I'll be sleeping in my car tonight, not sleeping in your ice cold sheets. Well, thank God for that. Whew. 'Cause I got a scrambled heart, it's just a little bit overcooked. I had this novel full of wishes missing from your book. There's no insurance in this life, no protection from the night. Too many rules with no direction. Walk under the knife. Just this temporality of creating a fleeting moment. If you're lacking in permanence, you gotta try to make the little moment potent. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dead. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dying. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dead. Hey, I'm in love with the living and the dead. Living and the dead. I'm in love with the living and the dead.
I think that one of the things that happens at these concerts, you hear a performance like what we just heard, and we get people from all over the building. I mean, you know, from accounting and from legal and mm-hmm. from funders and, you know, the fundraising people, mm-hmm. as well as the news division and the music people. And you know, so a lot of the artists like these that we're very familiar with are unfamiliar to a lot of the people who come. And I think jaws just dropped when he did that song.
It was really astonishing
and wonderful. And a very polar opposite person came to our desk.
Personality wise, absolutely.
Someone who you would, who is super well known to everybody in the building, Tom Jones.
Tell me a little bit about how this came to be, because of all the people that we would have, you would not guess Tom Jones would ever come to our desk. You know, this is a guy who's, you know, one of the biggest names, you know, of the last 40 years. And, you know, he plays Vegas all the time, huge theaters. And how did you get him to come to our desk?
Well, I mean, we had his publicist was looking, and he was looking, I think, for different places to play in, different audiences to connect himself with. And I applaud that. I mean, I have not been, and you know, a big fan of Tom Jones in my life. I respect him. I understand what a powerful voice he has. But, you know, what his songs just don't quite do it for me. But when I just heard that he was interested in doing something different and reaching out to somebody, different people, I said, come on, Tom, you know?
Yeah.
It's really a lesson to anybody who does something over and over again to get yourself out of that rut and try something out of the comfort zone. And it really was. I mean, I'd never think Tom Jones would be nervous. Mm-hmm. But here he was standing behind my desk, just him and a beautiful, fantastically wonderful jazz guitar player. And that's it. No microphone. I mean, the microphone we have is just picking up the sound. It's not doing anything in terms of, you know, as a prop even. You know, mm-hmm. it did none of that.
Yeah.
And he's 2 feet from Rachel Cowell, our intern then, and, you know, 2 feet from a whole bunch of other people as well. And he is perspiring. And
yeah.
he is, you know, you could just see this is uncomfortable and enjoyable, you know,
yeah,
intimate and awkward,
exciting,
all over again,
all at
right?
the same time. Well, you even asked him at one point, have you ever had an office job? And he said, no, it's making me nervous just standing here.
I forgot that.
Yeah, and But he was just such a charming, wonderful guy. He just, everybody was in love with him. And when I say everybody, I mean, of all the shows we've done, that we're on the west end of the NPR building. I think that whole end of the building sunk about two or three feet into the ground just from all the people who had gathered there and crammed into that little space to see him, because he certainly drew the biggest crowd.
So, Green Grass of Home, maybe, or do you have?
You know, there was the Green Grass of Home is a really nice song, but he did the song that I thought his guitarist really shone on as well, called "We Got Love."
Okay, yeah, great.
Your captivating eyes, the clever way they smile, stops him in his tracks. Then at your pretty face, you keep him in his place. He'd do anything you ask. They've broken the mold, more precious than gold. When you're standing there, the world disappears. It would be a crime to ever let you go. He should be inclined to keep you very close. No one else compares your account above the rest. He'd be such a fool if he should ever leave you. Careful what you do. He's so in love with you, you might tear him apart. To watch the way you move, it's obvious that you were made for breaking hearts. The pout of your lips, those soft fingertips, the curve of your waist, you're perfectly made. It would be a crime to ever let you go. He should be inclined to keep you very close. No one else compares your account above the rest. He'd be such a fool if he should ever leave you. It would be a crime to ever let you go. He should be inclined to keep you very close. No one else compares your account above the rest. He'd be such a fool if he should ever leave you. Your captivating eyes, the clever way you smile, sets him in a spin. The subtle way you smile. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I got it.
That's Tom Jones's guitarist, Brian Maroney, playing there. What a very, very tasty guitar player. Really knows what he's doing. Some great chops. And I think he's been Tom Jones's musical director, too, since the mid-90s or so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they've been together for a long time. They you could tell they really communicated well with each other just through the music. They always kind of knew what each other was going to do.
When they first approached And that whole subject of Tom coming to the desk and playing, I'm thinking, what is he going to do? Bring a boombox with a band? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just couldn't imagine him stripped down like that in terms of arrangement. And there
did
it was.
Did you like him more like that?
I did. It struck me in many wonderful ways, in ways I'd never have dreamed from Tom Jones's music in the past.
The glitzier production,
yeah,
produced
which
pieces. Yeah,
you know, just usually just drives me running the other way, but it did, and the power of his voice.
Yeah, great singer. He still has it.
Speaking of guitar players, Jason Vio is a classical guitar player, beautiful, beautiful classical guitar player. And he came and charmed everybody with both his, I don't know, just sort of explaining his craft to people. And
he was very comfortable doing that. A lot of musicians don't really like to deconstruct what it is that they do. They either lack the vocabulary for it or the interest. And he's someone who will just speak in very practical terms and tell you exactly what he does, why he plays a certain way, why he picked a song that he picked.
Including gluing parts of ping pong balls on his fingers to, you know,
on his, yeah, his at least thumb. On his thumb, on yeah. the, his thumb that he uses to pick. He just meticulously shapes with a file his thumb and then cuts open a ping pong ball and glues the skin of the ping pong ball to the underside of his thumb, which is a great touch. It makes for a great sound. And, you know, I got to be honest, when I heard he was going to play, I thought that's nice, but I was busy. I had a lot of stuff to do. I had to run some errands. I thought if I get back, you know, no big deal. I did make it back in time to see the show, and I am so glad I did. He just knocked me out. Just a gorgeous performance. And it just, you know, I'm getting goosebumps actually right now just thinking about his performance. It was so nice.
So we're both in love with the sound of guitars, and hearing them, you know, when you're sitting 4 and 5 feet away unamplified is a whole different experience than hearing them in a club when it's plugged in and or mic'd and stuff. And yeah. The tone on that nylon string was really stunning. Did you have a fave?
Well, he opened with the Bach Prelude from Prelude, Fugue, and Allegro. And I really love that one. He's got a new album of Bach work out right now, too, so that's appropriate.
Great.
One thing you can hear in that recording is something that you're actually not hearing, and that is the squeaking of the guitar strings as he plays.
Weird.
Yeah, he can move his fingers so delicately over those strings and so quietly. You know, normally even with some really gifted guitarists, you'll hear a little squeak as the fingers move over the strings, and you don't really hear that with him. And somebody, I think it was maybe our producer Tom Heisinger, asked him about it. He said that he actually works on that. He spent many years working on making his fingers very, very quiet so that it doesn't, you know, intrude or step on the music itself. Anyway, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, it's quite gorgeous. So I'm here with Robin Hilton, the producer of All Songs Considered. We're talking about the Tiny Desk Concert Series that we've been doing since April 2008. And all of a sudden, we've had this burst of concerts.
We really, I mean, honestly, haven't been able to keep up with getting them all out, which is why we've got ourselves on the schedule to just start doing them every Monday.
And I have to say that, you know, we listen to lots of music, and that's how we come up. We find, you know, six or eight good songs on our normal All Songs Considered. That's how we come up with our show. We've had so many concerts lately, Robin, and I honestly, one of the reasons to do this show today was because I couldn't get through enough CDs to find six or eight really amazing pieces of music.
Well, and all this music
and
is sitting
there is
right
all this
here,
stuff, so. And I just woke up and thought, it's right here.
Yeah.
And so other shows we've done, Horse Feathers, which is online, Benji Faree is online, Great Lake Swimmers is online, and...
We've got a number already in the can that we've done. Some of them we webcast live, and some not. Bill Callahan of Smog came in the last week. Dark Meat.
It was like, what, eight-piece band?
I missed Dark Meat. Oh. They played the same day as the Ava Brothers, who we're going to hear in a minute. Maria Taylor played. She gave a great performance. Telekinesis, that was just this week, I mm-hmm. think, or this past week. And great shows. Yeah, we've got a lot coming.
Good. So let's go out on the Ava Brothers, who I have seen a number of times now. The first time I saw them was Newport Folk Festival last year. They're playing there again this year, and we'll cover that event, by the way. And then we did them at South by Southwest, and it was a sort of a bit of a problematic set. The sound check didn't go so well, and they tried a lot of new stuff, and it was all right. And then they came and played the desk, and oh, my gosh.
Well, this, like I said, this is one that I missed, and I'm sorry I missed this one, too. I do remember from them playing at South by Southwest that we were pretty far away from the stage because we were in the engineering area. And I remember thinking, even as far away as we were from the stage, that it was just, they were so animated and so powerful, and just, they really lit it up.
Yeah, and Scott Avett, one of the two brothers, when he belted out, when he opened his mouth up, I honestly couldn't believe what was happening. And I said to him after the fact, did you swallow an amplifier as a small child?
All right, I did just see the tallest man on earth with you. How did he compare that? Because that guy, the windows were rattling.
That's right. So they should do an album together.
A loud off?
Yeah.
And the guy from The Tallest Man on Earth, you know, he's this very slight figure. I mean, he's maybe 5'6" or 7".
Not very different from Scott Avett, too. Yeah. This, I'll say this, and then they can fight about it. The smaller of the two brothers.
Maybe we should just hear some music.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll go out on the Avett Brothers. More Tiny Desk Concerts every Monday. We're just going to put one up the same day as we put out our regular show. You can find the videos of all of these in the All Songs Considered Live Concert Podcast. You can find them streaming from the website npr.org/tinydeskconcerts. You know, as we do these, we may stream some of them live on video. And if you follow us on Twitter, the word All Songs, one word, All Songs, will let you know when they're coming up. Because sometimes we just sort of decide at the last minute we do those things.
Yeah, put it on the blog and you can watch it real time over your lunch break or something.
So let's listen to the Avett Brothers.
They've got a new album coming up in August called I and Love and You.
They did not do that song.
Did they do? What did they?
Let's do the song. It's got lots of nice parts. They've got this great upright bass player that plays with the two brothers, and a really wonderful, wonderful cello player that just fit right in, and you wouldn't think would fit right in. So let's listen to the song. It's called Laundry Room.
Great.
And it's good doing this. It's actually good revisiting these.
Oh, yeah, a lot of great music. This was fun.
Good. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Words. tiptoe across the floor. Keep your clothes on. I've got all that I can take. Teach me how to use the love that people say you make.
Thank you.